It is the Tom Jordan Show. It's great to have you here. I'm really excited about my next guest here. It's an amazing story, really, when we speak of this woman. Well, first of all, I want to bring up the ministry here. It's Chimes, Israel's, in the Ministry for Children with Disabilities, amid a very difficult situation in Israel right now. And they have come all the way from Israel to join us here in Detroit, Michigan. And Corrine is a nurse. She is a mother of seven, correct? Yes. You have a ton of courage to deal with what you've been dealing with. I won't get into everything because I don't know if we can talk about everything here, but you have an amazing life and a lot of challenges that you've been going through for many, many years. I want to give some people some background here before we get into it. So Ashkelon, right? Ashkelon, Israel. Yes. Is that's where you live. Just 8 miles from Gaza, so very close. And you understand what happened back on, you know, in 2023, October 7th. This nurse and a mother of seven, really it was an unthinkable moment for you and for so many people. When we learned about it here, it was on a Saturday morning when I learned about what was going on back then. It was unthinkable. But you went through a lot more than what we're thinking about that terrorist attack. We're talking about a pregnant woman, doctors telling you to end your pregnancy. Can you give me some background on that part of your story, and then we'll get more into it?
Yeah, of course. The year was 2019.
It was 2019.
Yeah. Okay. When I was pregnant with my sixth child, I'm sorry. And it was an unplanned pregnancy, but a very wanted one.
Mm-hmm.
And the test showed that he might have Down syndrome, and the counselor, a genetic counselor, advised me to do amniocentesis.
Uh-huh.
Amniocentesis.
Yes. Yes, very good.
You know, to find out if he does. And I got the results a few days after with the diagnosis that my fetus had Down syndrome. She called me and on the phone and told me that she was very sorry for me and asked me what I was going to do. And I didn't know what to do at that time. I didn't want a baby with Down syndrome, and I couldn't do anything to terminate this pregnancy. A lot of a few doctors advised me very constantly to terminate. They said that I will suffer for all my life. My children will suffer. He will suffer, and I shouldn't go on with it. But morally, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I always say I never judge any woman or parents who do go with the procedure and stop the pregnancy. But for myself, I just couldn't go through with it. And today I am so glad that I didn't do it. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. I love him very much.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I can see you do. That's quite clear. And we can forget the difficulty and the emotional toll that happens to a parent or a pregnant mother, whoever's involved as well, when you're given this kind of a diagnosis that is going to radically change your life.
Yeah.
As a parent. So there's a lot of things to process in that. What sometimes seems surprising to a lot of us is that the pressure mounts to take one approach, which would be an abortion.
Yeah.
That's happens all over the world, and it happens here in the States. And you mentioned that you're glad you did not do that. What did you, what, First of all, let's talk about the moral decision that you made. Like you said, this is not going to happen because you had some sort of a conviction in your heart that I'm not going to allow this to happen. There's something wrong. I'm not judging other people, but for me, this is not what I want to do. What do you think that came from? And then secondly, I want to talk about the shift in when you realized that was the right decision.
Okay. So during the pregnancy, emotionally, I couldn't give the doctors okay to, you know, stop my baby's heart and terminate this pregnancy. And I realized only after I gave birth how glad I am that I didn't go on with it, because he's just like us, you know. Maybe he's a little slower, his development is slower, but I don't see him any different from the rest of my children. The opposite. He brings me a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. When I look at him, then I realize that not everything is
perfect or easy or as described, or
not everything is for granted, taken for granted.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, not everything is taken for granted. And you learn to appreciate the little things in life, you know, the little things that he does, even if he does it, if it takes a while for him to reach it. But when he does, you are so, you know, your heart is so full of pride and you're so happy. And we really do love him very much.
Yeah. One of the resources you got a lot of help from was called Chimes, mm-hmm. Chimes Israel. And I want, if you don't mind speaking, and I'll have you get close to the microphone here, but explain what Chimes Israel is. What do you do? What's your service? What's your priority? And how do you minister to people like Corinne?
Yeah, my name is Pamela Azaria, and I'm
We're going to get your microphone turned on here. Do we have, Victoria's going to come in here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Chimes Israel is, you know, provides care, of course, and therapy and a lot of hope to children, right, with disabilities. And this would be the case with Corrine's child, Ben, 6 years old right now, right?
Yeah.
Ben
six.
Is, yeah. So, wow, time goes by quickly, doesn't
quickly,
it?
Quickly, very quickly.
So you run in to Corrine and you meet Ben. And so what does Chimes Israel provide? What do you do?
Yeah, so my name is Pamela Azaria. I'm the International Resources Director for Chimes Israel. And Chimes is an organization that's been around for 34 years. We help people with disabilities of all ages, from 6 months to elderly. And we have 26 centers throughout Israel, serving 1,400 people.
Wow.
And we have 8 therapeutic early childhood centers, rehabilitative. And what they do, we came up with this very unique and innovative model in Israel, where all under one roof, they get diagnosis, the therapies they need, child care, homemade food, parental guidance. It's about 3 adults to 1 child. And we even go into their homes and help the parents learn how to handle or deal or make the life better for their child at home. So it's a full service operation. And Corrine's son went through our services, and she can tell you what Chimes meant to her, because this is, you know, she's the perfect person to say firsthand how we helped her. So
I'm amazed that you have that many adults per child, 3 adults per child. Do you have that much of a commitment and that well-rounded approach?
Yes.
From the center where you are, but also in the home as well. So, Corrine, tell me about like Ben's experience when you were hooked up with Chimes Israel. What was the process like, and what did you see in terms of your experience with Chimes, how this assisted you in dealing with the new challenges that you had with Ben?
First of all, I want to say that it was very hard for me to think of putting him in a unique center for children with disabilities. I didn't want to put him in a, you know, normal place. Oh, not place.
Child care
facility. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Like the what your other kids might be going through
in Israel.
As well.
Most of the mothers work, so they put them in something they call GAN, and it's daycare, but it's so loving and kind, and the kids even get potty trained there, mm-hmm. and it's also provides Jewish education with the holidays, and the kids love to go there, and it's a social situation. So. She's saying that she wanted to put her child in a normative GAN.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
What do you call it? A dawn?
GAN. GAN means garden in Hebrew.
It does. Okay.
Yeah.
GAN.
GAN, like kindergarten.
I love the Hebrew language. Actually, I was going to try to commit myself about a year ago to start learning Hebrew. I haven't done it yet, but I get a word a day in my email inbox.
I've been there 15 years, and my Hebrew's not that great.
Okay.
So.
Well, your English is fantastic.
Thank you so much.
That's wonderful.
I'm from Michigan.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, that's, are you? Okay, our common friend let me know about that.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's right. That's correct. That's why your English is so good.
Yes.
So you put Ben into, what is it again? GAN?
GAN. G-A-N.
G-A-N. Not a regular GAN, but with this specifically for to help.
Rehabilitative early childhood.
Okay.
It's intervention, early childhood intervention.
What were the challenges for Ben that you knew that you needed some help?
Cognitive challenges and motorical challenges.
Mm-hmm.
His whole development is slower than other children.
Yeah.
And he needed physical therapy and
speech therapy
and
occupational therapy.
Yeah.
And anything with eating. We do a lot with children have problem eating and swallowing and things like that. Yeah.
So he needed, help with all these things. And I also needed help. As Pamela said, there is parental guidance, which is very important because it's not just to, you know, do it in the center during the day. It's important to do it, you know, as a part of life.
Yes.
What they do there, we have to continue at home. That's the main key. Continuing and not doing it just, you know, once or twice a week or it's a part of life.
Yes. You know, I want to talk about because you came to a very difficult road in your life when you had to make a decision after this diagnosis that your baby had Down syndrome in the womb, and the pressure was pretty thick, pretty intense from the doctors and the medical staff.
Not just the doctors, my family too.
Oh my goodness! See, it's so common. Like this is the quote unquote right thing to do for your happiness, and truly, it's the opposite. I mean, you clearly are happy with your son that's been born. But you've also reached out to other people as well. In fact, you've said that later you met another woman in the hospital who was also considering ending her pregnancy after a Down syndrome diagnosis. But she heard your story. Your visit changed her mind. How so?
The story was about a woman who gave birth to a Down syndrome baby.
Mm.
And she didn't want to take him home. She wanted to put him up to adoption. And then that's when I came to the hospital, you know, with my uniform.
Yes.
And
your uniform as a nurse or no. Okay, go ahead. I'll let you continue on.
And yes. She, you know, she saw me going on with my life, that everything is okay. You know, I told her about my family, my story. Look at me. Nothing stopped. Everything is okay. Life goes on, and it goes on well. I told her that I continued doing what I did before and even more. I finished my second degree nursing and, you know, told her that everything is okay. And.
Yep. Yeah, this is wonderful. I think that what you have, first of all, you're a witness. You're giving your testimony to other people to save lives. I think it's wonderful. And to restore hope in mothers and fathers who realize life does continue. It's not as they have been told about what life is going to be like if you end up, you know, taking on the difficulties in life. And then Chimes Israel, I want to get more into this as well in a moment. We're going to take a quick break here. We will return with my guest here. It's a wonderful story. And Chimes Israel is really the Pamela Azario, which Pamela Azario with Chimes Israel and Corrine as well. More to come here on the Tom Jordan Show. I am with Pamela Azaria with Chimes Israel and Karen Uliel. I hope I said that correctly. At least it was close. The Americanized version. It's a remarkable story. And just to give you a background again, so Corrine was diagnosed with her sixth, you know, child. She was pregnant with her sixth child, Ben. And Ben was diagnosed with Down syndrome. And the pressure was intense to abort little Ben in the womb from family and from the medical facility and the doctors and nurses all around. Basically, the pressure was intense to do that. But Corrine had this check in her spirit that this wasn't morally okay for her to do this. And lo and behold, she had a tremendous joy in the fact that Ben is alive. And now Ben is 6 years old. This was in 2019. And Pamela Azario, you live in Tel Aviv area, correct?
Yes,
as well?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So this was 2019. Since that time, there's been a lot that has transpired. And even before, of course, 2023, October 7th, there was rocket fire constantly coming into Ashkelon, where Corrine lives. Tel Aviv's gotten hit as well. But around Israel was a pretty intense time. And living that close to the border of Gaza as well. So I want to ask you this. So, Pamela, you have several centers in Ashkelon, but you know when the rocket fire comes over, you got to get to a safe place, right? You got a lot of kids. So give us the background on that and what the reality is.
Okay. So we have, as I mentioned, we have an innovative model for early childhood, and we have 8 centers throughout Israel, and the 7 of them are beautiful, big, purpose-filled, colorful, modern centers, but not Ashkelon. Ashkelon, which gets the most rocket fire out of any other city in Israel, their centers are in 4 residential homes with many stairs, small rooms, which is not great for them when the kids start getting mobile. One of the houses doesn't have enough room for therapy, so there's a mobile home on the premises. Another one had to put a kitchen underneath the stairs. Three of them have safe rooms. One of them doesn't. None of the safe rooms are large enough to fit all the rooms when all the children and the staff when the rockets start coming. So these are unsafe places, and you have 30 seconds to get to shelter. The children and the adults bringing them never make it in 30 seconds. So it's completely, it's vulnerable. And when Corrine's son was there, it was the same situation. And I don't know how Corrine felt about bringing her child to a place like that, that she knows is not protected. I think she could talk about that. So our mission here is especially Hamas attacking us gave us a huge wake-up call. And not only Hamas attacked us, Iran, Hezbollah, the Houthis. Mm-hmm. So no matter what you think about if we have peace right now, it's not, Hamas is still in charge, and we don't know what the future is going to be like. So our mission here today is to raise money to build a purpose-built early childhood center where our kids can grow, get the abilities they need to really really reach their potential. And one thing I'll tell you is when the war started, because these homes are so vulnerable, the children missed their care for 4 months. And first of all, we raised money and we were able to bring food, medicine, diapers, and all kinds of toys and things to their homes. We had volunteers do that, and we helped a lot of people evacuate right after October 7th because a lot of people didn't have safe rooms at home. But then we started an emergency fund, and we raised a lot of money from North America, and we were able to bring, create an equipment library so children who couldn't sit upright could be upright, so they could see the world and learn, and they could also eat, because, you know, food goes down, mm-hmm. and a lot of other therapeutic equipments. We were able to bring iPads to the home so that the teachers and the children could have remote learning with each other. We had real-time resilience training with the staff so they could equip the children better. And the big heroes of this story are our staff. Our staff once a week went to the homes, braved the rocket fire because they were so dedicated to the children. They loved the children so much. They wanted to help them. They gave the parents such a respite because you can imagine your child with disabilities might not be your only child, and you might have three others. And a child with disability is very attention intensive. Mm-hmm. So, And I failed to mention that most of these people were living in their safe rooms because they couldn't themselves get their families to their safe rooms in 30 seconds. And there were 8-hour power outages in Ashkelon. So it was a tremendously stressful time. And our organization, with the help of North American money, we were able to bring them help. We even gave them a supermarket gift card certificates, because a lot of the families live hand to mouth, and the wives were home with their children, so they couldn't work, and their husbands were called up to defend our country. So this was like a tremendously tough time, and especially for people in Ashkelon, where Corrine is from.
I want to pause here and give people like the best place where they can help right now, like Chimes Israel website. What's the best place to donate? Because you do need a lot of funding for this. And it sounds like North America is the place that's going to help the most, potentially. I don't know if that is or not, but yes. It sounds like right now is an opportunity to do that. So where can people go?
Well, I think you should just Google Chimes Israel, C-H-I-M-E-S, Israel. Not just Chimes alone, but with Israel. Mm-hmm. And you'll find our organization. You'll also find our sister organization in Baltimore. Look for ours. And because they also mention us, but you can go to us directly. And there's a donate button. And we, any gift will help us, you know. So anything, no matter how small, will be a gift from God. So we would appreciate it.
It's incredibly important. There's a couple of places you can go. There's chimesisrael.org.
.org.il. Not the .org. That's the Baltimore one. Go to chimesisrael.org.il.
Yes, that's the one. There's another one that's just Chimes.
Yeah, that's
Go to chimesisrael.org.il.
Mm-hmm. that's for Israel. And then you're going to have to click on the button that says English. And then there's a donate mm-hmm. button. And you can read about all our projects, oh, yeah. all the things that we're doing. It's really an incredible organization with 26 centers throughout Israel. And we're serving people from 6 months to the elderly, and I could talk about the other programs, but I want to focus on this is because this is where our need is the most.
It's huge, and there's a ton of information on the website, so I'm just going to give it out again, chimesisrael.org.il. Okay, so Karine, if I can bring you back into the conversation here, can you describe what it was like? You have 7 children now, is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know how old the youngest one is. How old's your youngest?
My youngest is
3.10. 3.10, yeah, that's pretty accurate.
She's going to be 4 years old in January.
So she was alive, but very, very young at the time of the attack on October 7th, 2023.
Yeah, she was very young.
Ashkelon, right there near the Gaza border. Can you describe what that situation was like for you and your family and how what it was like and what it's like today dealing with the situation there?
I'll start by saying that my husband and I continued working full time. Mm-hmm. And my oldest child was a soldier at that time, and the rest of my 6 children stayed at home because all schools, kindergartens, everything was closed.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, went anywhere. Everybody stayed at home. Ashkelon was the most bombed.
Attacked
yeah. City in Israel.
There were also terrorists running around, you know, right after October 7th. You know, they were worried in Ashkelon that there might be terrorists there.
I mean, at the time, right? Yeah. And afterwards, not everyone just returned to Gaza and everything was safe. No, it was incredibly dangerous at the time, especially right there near the border. And I'm sure the mentality of like little Ben and your little kids was, they were probably pretty scared.
Yeah, they all stayed at home for 2.5 months, not going anywhere, not just to school, but, you know, everything was closed.
Yeah.
They had to stay at home while my husband and I weren't at home.
Yeah.
And run to the safe room a lot of times during the day because of the bombs.
You know, you look at the...
Not very easy.
No, incredibly difficult and very concerning as a parent with all your children. They seem to manage okay right now, and thanks for Chimes Israel for really helping out in this regard. What is it like now for you today, Chimes Israel, in terms of being able to go out freely and walk around and minister to the people that are in need right now with your organization?
So we had another war within a war. Iran attacked us.
Yes.
And so it happened again, and this was just in June. And so... it wasn't just Ashkelon that was affected by this. Mm-hmm. It was the whole entire country. And as I said, we have 26 centers throughout the country. So it's I happened to be out of the country, and I was stranded out of the country for 3 weeks, could not get back. But I spoke to my husband and my friends, and it was pretty scary. I mean, this is what life is like. You're in a precarious situation, and you never know what's going to happen. And what it was, I think, Karine, you were there. Was told it was probably one of the most frightening times for anyone in Israel because we have the Iron Dome.
Yep.
And we can shoot off, we can, you know, defend ourselves against those rockets from Gaza, not perfectly. But this was a whole completely different animal. And people were so many homes got destroyed. We have employees that missiles went through their house, and we had to help them and give them money to, you know, out of our hearts and out of our donations to repair their homes and get along. Do you have to go?
We do have to run here. But I want to get this in quickly because here's what you're saying here is that the attacks continued. After October 7th, 2023, they were there long before that. And I think back to 2005, when the land there in Gaza was given over and Israel extricated themselves out of Gaza for peace. The peace never came because you mentioned the Iron Dome. You still had to use that because of all the rocket fire that was continuously coming over into Israel from your enemies.
Right.
Gaza, of course, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis you mentioned, Iran, the big one, funding all of this. And there's more out there. And so what I wanted to let my listeners and get them to understand here is that this is likely not going to stop. I know there's a peace plan. There's a peace deal. But we've seen this come. We've seen these go. And so what you're building there in Israel, I think, is incredibly important for you to get the support from our listeners here at WMUZ. So if you could please, speaking to the listeners now, go to the website chimesisrael.org.il. That's the Israel .com thing, I guess, out there.
Yeah.
Chimesisrael.org.il. Please go on there and donate and check it out. Read through it and see if this is something that fits what you would like to be a part of. I think people should.
If you ever visit Israel, look me up. I will give you a tour of our centers, and you can see what we do.
Well, I'm hoping to get out there soon. I really am, truly. So I will take you up on that offer. So
Oh my gosh, I would love to.
I would be just a joy. It's a dream of mine to come to Israel. I've never been yet. So we plan to do that.
We're rolling out the red carpet for you.
Good,
right now,
wonderful.
Tom.
Wonderful. It is a joy. It is a pleasure to have both of you. Thank you for sharing your story, Corinne.
Thank you very much.
God bless you and just, you know, keep following God in this journey that you're on to help people that are desperately in need there. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Quick break. More to come here on the Tom Jordan Show.